low osmo what?
Let me put my thinking cap on. What did you just say? Put it in my language, son.
You know, I define an ultra race as an eating and drinking contest with some exercise and scenery thrown in. So it is the carbohydrates that stop us from our events, from our performance at our long events.
Getting back to the fat burning.
Scott's very interested in the fat burning.
You've seen me. You know I'm interested in fat burning. And it was a miserable, miserable day for me. Thanks for joining another edition of Trail Runner Nation. My name is Scott Warr.
I'm Faith Goss.
And I'm Don Freeman. Today we're going to speak about super carbs, a new source of fuel for ultra runners. Sonny Blende joins us today. Now, Sonny Blende has a master's in human performance.
Wow.
Yes. She teaches sports nutrition at the College of Marin in the Bay Area. She is an ultra runner. She works with teams and clients of multiple sports, so she knows about endurance firsthand, and she observes many, many athletes as well.
You know, she's also ultra nice.
Well, that's true, and ultra many other things. I'm just going to leave that to the imagination. She's been featured in Chris McDougall's Born to Run as a nutritionist for Scott Jurek, Luis Escobar, and Mike Sweeney. She's a frequent columnist in Ultra Running Magazine. In fact, her one of the recent articles that you can pick up by going to ultrarunning.com is Nutrition and Your Mental Edge, which is just a great article. But today, Sonny, we'd like to talk about super carbs. What is this new product?
Super carbs is a great new product. And hi, you guys. How are you doing?
I was just ready to get into it, Sonny. I'm sorry. Let's start with this. Sonny, welcome to the program.
Thanks.
It's been a while. Thanks. We're glad to talk to you again.
The last time we talked to you, we were reviewing J.B. Benna's movie, Unbreakable.
Oh, a great movie. And the last time I think I saw you two, besides the movie, was at an aid station in Western States. So let's see what we can do to help everybody get through those races tonight.
I needed some of those super carbs when you saw me.
Possibly. We could all use those super carbs sometimes. I think that it's kind of an exciting area in sports nutrition. There's not a lot of new studies on there, but there's some definitely good studies on it. And what is a super carb? Well, the actual definition is a very high molecular weight, low osmolality molecule that clears the stomach quickly.
What?
Wake up.
Yeah.
Low osmo what?
Let me put my thinking cap on. What did you just say? Put it in my language, Sonny.
What the bottom line is, and especially might help ultra runners more than a lot of other athletes, is it clears the stomach quickly. It's actually helps with gastric emptying. And it's like, oh, that sounds awful. What does that mean? Well, it does not mean going north. It means going south. So if we eat some food, when it's in our stomach, it's not helping us. It's not helping us just sitting here, but it's especially not helping us when we're trying to run in an ultra race or an ultra long run just for fun. So probably all of us, if we've been running even a 50K, have had some sort of stomach upset sometime. And most of that stomach upset is caused because there's food or fluid in the stomach. It's not helping there. Until we get it out of the stomach, into the small intestine, absorb it across the lining, get it into the blood, and have the blood take it to the muscles, it's not helping us. So it actually could hurt us. Because we've all been there, right?
Oh, yes. More than once. What is that transit time? How long does it take to get from stomach to to the bloodstream and eventually to the muscle cell or whatever needs it. What period of time is that?
The gastric emptying part is fast, okay? It's almost immediate. Whether it's getting actually to the muscle depends on what kind of superstarch you're taking in, because there's only a couple on the market at the moment, and they act in very different ways. But the main thing is getting out of that stomach quickly, and that's what causes most of the problems in ultra running. Just for a comparison that you don't really need to know about, but a molecular weight of a sugar molecule is about 180, and maltodextrin is about 10,000, and supercarbs are like 500 to 700,000.
So, Sunny, we're talking about
a very different molecule.
So, Sunny, are you saying that the normal stuff we've been using, like goo and shot blocks and that sort of stuff and our electrolyte drinks, that those actually get absorbed quickly, or you're saying that these new supercarbs are the ones that get absorbed quickly?
Supercarbs get absorbed a lot more than the sports nutrition products, and the sports nutrition products get absorbed a lot more than most real food because they have because they're a maltodextrin, so that's already a little heavier molecular weight.
Okay.
And all that weight thing means is it gets out of the stomach fast.
Stomach
doesn't like heavy stuff. It wants to get it out of there.
So when you're perusing an aid station buffet, are you saying then we should be reaching for the sports products first instead of whole foods?
I wouldn't always say that. I would say if you're a newer runner, I would say that. Newer runners, the sports products work really well because they've taken all the fiber out. They've engineered them to give you exactly what you need and no more. If you have been running for a few years or a few races, or you're in a 100-mile race and you're about ready to take your 70th gel, I might suggest some real food because you're probably sick of the gel. You can train your stomach to eat real food. The slower you go, the easier it is to digest real food. So when you're up in the very front of the pack racing as hard as you can, sometimes those guys will eat a little food, but they're probably not eating as much food. They probably got their race really dialed. If you're going to walk through the aid station and talk to the people behind and kind of get back on track, yeah, you can eat a little food. You can sit down and eat more food.
Sunny, before we get into these products, these supercarbs, can we take a Sunny Blend Day nutrition class for a moment? And
sure.
And we may be auditing it. We may not get credit for it. I don't think we can transfer units with our podcast yet, but we'll work on it.
Pass, fail.
What percentage does nutrition play in the success of an ultra runner, in your opinion?
In my opinion, I define an ultra race as an eating and drinking contest with some exercise and scenery thrown in. So if you happen to be in the GI distress pile at the time, it can mean the race. If your stomach never goes off, chances are, if you train for the race, you're going to get to the finish line in a very good time. And all of us have a race like that. But the longer the race goes, it's usually not if you're going to have some stomach problems. It's when you're going to have some stomach problems and what can you do about it.
What would you say in terms of, I know there's a lot of diets out there, like a lot of ultra runners are vegan, some are vegetarian, like myself, I'm gluten-free. What sort of percentage would you say nutrition off the trail and just day-to-day life, how does that affect your running?
Well, I certainly think the healthier, the better, because runners, ultra runners particularly, are going so long that the recommended dietary intake, the RDA or RDI of what the Food and Drug Administration puts out there, is really just what keeps us out of the disease state. It's not really what keeps an ultra runner exercising at our intensity and volume in proper health. So you need to be in proper health. Each nutrient we take in works with a lot of other nutrients. In other words, if you just took vitamins in and you didn't take any caloric food, macronutrients, protein, fat, or carbohydrates, you might as well just throw the vitamin in the toilet and flush it, because vitamins are designed or help us absorb foods, calories. So don't take them on an empty stomach. So when you start looking at it like that, and that's just a really simple one, and all the other things get more complicated, the closer to the source that you eat the rest of the time, the better for you, because you're getting all the phytonutrients or the little things, the little trace minerals, that electrolyte balance, which becomes so important to an ultra runner in hydration, the better all that is. Can you run ultra runs as a vegan? Absolutely. Look at Scott Jurek. Can you run as a gluten-free? Yes. Can you run as a diabetic? Yes. A type 1 diabetic is a little harder. You got to test your blood sugar along the way. Type 2 diabetes, if you are become an ultra runner, you won't have type 2 diabetes. So.
All right, there you go.
Moot point.
Now, do you find in the coaching that you've done, where people are trying to drop weight and they're starting to count calories, that they're actually sabotaging their own training and going and not hitting their goals because they're not caloried up enough to do some of this, you know, longer endurance training that we do?
That is the number one thing I find in almost all the athletes that I work with, is they're actually under-fueled. So they are taking two steps forward in their training and, you know, strength training and running capacity, and then two steps back, then two steps forward, two steps back. Instead of the two steps forward, one step back we'd like to see and then get stronger. If you're not fully fueled, you're telling your body that the next time you're in fight or flight, the next time the lion is going to be chasing you, you don't really have enough calories to outrun them, and you don't know when that lion's going to be there. Shows up about 6 o'clock every night, or, you know, 6 a.m. every morning, whatever time you train. So your body starts slowing your metabolism down the rest of the time. That being said, for ultra runners, we have an unlimited storage of fat in our bodies, no matter how lean or how low body percentage fat we are. So it's not the carbohydrates that we can't get a big store of. We can only store so many of them. So it is the carbohydrates that stop us from our events, from our performance at our long events, more than fat. Even a 5% fat guy can run 500 miles on the fat that he has or she has. But you cannot access that fat without having carbohydrates.
So on the subject,
that's the lesson.
On the subject of fat burning, can we take your nutrition class right now, and can you explain a little bit about how glycogen stores work and how that relates to fat burning and how carbohydrates kind of weave into the mix there?
Yes, yes. So if you start out running and you start slow, most people are going to be burning a higher percentage of fat than carbohydrates. That's just what we do at a lower intensity. And as our intensity increases, we start burning more carbohydrates and less fat. There'll be a point with most trained people that's called a crossover point, where you are now burning more carbs than you are fat. If you can train to push that crossover point further out so that you can run at a higher intensity before you cross over to more carbs than fat, you will become a better performance athlete at distances, especially at ultra running, especially at speed, because you have plenty of fat, so you don't want to run out of the carbs. You can take in a lot of carbs, and as ultra runners, a lot of us do. I was tested with my own metabolic efficiency, and I thought I might not even have a crossover point because I love carbs. And I eat carbs all the time, and when I go running, I eat every 30 minutes or every 20 minutes. I eat a lot along the way. And the human performance lab where I was at Stanford basically told me that my good nutrition made up for bad training.
So Sunny, how does one find out where their crossover point is? That's my first question. It sounds like we have to go to Stanford. The second question is, how do you increase, or how do you change that crossover point? How do you make it?
Changing the crossover point is one of the things that the supercarbs can really help us with. So changing the crossover point means that you can become more metabolic efficient. There's a book called Metabolic Efficiency by Bob Sibahar, who's got more credentials than I can even read in an hour. He's been the triathlon Olympic coach, and he's got a website called Fuelformance, Fuel, and then Mance. And he explains a lot of this, but you can get tested. You don't have to get tested. The way to fix it anyway is to go out at lower levels, burning, not spiking your insulin, and burning at a lower level in your base training.
Is that so is that for the entire run or just for maybe the first half hour, first hour of the run?
It's for, if you really want to speed it up, you'll do it for 4 to 6 weeks.
So every run that you're out there, you're running at a slow intensity on every one of your training runs?
Right. Most coaches will tell you run once free, take the heart rate off or whatever. And this is running at your heart rate. That's how you tell how intense it is. It's like a heart rate zone 2, low 3 maybe.
Okay.
And something like these two products, one, UCAN, really helps with that fat burning. The second one doesn't really help with the fat burning so much, but really helps with the recovery so that you can go out and do this again.
Sunny, let's mention those products again in case someone didn't catch it. The two products we're talking about today.
The first one is UCAN, Generation UCAN.
And it's spelled how?
UCAN.
So it's not Y-O-U, it's the letter
U-C-A-N. The letter U, right, into texting, UCAN. And the other one is Generate Vitargo. So it's VitargoS2.
And we'll link those right underneath your podcast on trailrunnernation.com. So they'll be able to get to that, Sunny. And also your website.
Go to those websites. There's a lot of information on both those websites. But both of these super carbs, they really help getting more calories out of the stomach sooner. And in the UCAN, it doesn't spike your insulin at all. So neither of these products have sugar in it. So when you take a carbohydrate molecule, it's called sugar when it's one molecule, a monosaccharide, two molecules, disaccharide, polysaccharide, I think up to about 12 molecules. See, even I forget my science. Up to so many molecules, that's a sugar. Then it starts becoming a starch or a complex carbohydrate. That's what we're talking about. Those do not spike insulin like the simple sugars do. So the UCAN, the nice thing about that is it doesn't spike your blood sugar at all. So you can take it in the 60 to 90 minutes before your run or 10 minutes before or 30 minutes before, where we used to tell people, don't spike your blood sugar right before you go out running, because what spiking blood sugar means, an insulin spike means when you get too much sugar in your blood all at once, your body says, I don't like that. I like this amount only. So I'm going to secrete insulin, and the insulin is going to help me take that sugar out of the blood back to a normal level. And the reason we need the insulin to do that is the glucose itself won't pass into a cell. The insulin binds to it and helps it get into a cell. So we eat a lot of sugar, we release a lot of insulin. If we release too much insulin, we get that reactive, you know, like we're running on high and then boom, we're really, really low blood sugar. When you get low blood sugar, you stop burning fat. So now let's take us back to mile 50, okay, of whatever race you're doing. If you are now out of your capability of burning fat, you're in trouble because you don't have very many carbs. Remember, the better your performance, the longer you'll burn fat.
Okay.
So,
and go ahead.
Uh-huh. If you have a question, everybody has a question.
Oh, good. I'm raising my hand in your class. How the glycogen stores that we have, how long can we go out there and run on those when we roll out of bed, hit the start line? When do we exhaust those?
If you have spiked your blood sugar right before you went out by drinking a Gatorade kind of product for the hour before you go out, maybe 2 or 3 hours max.
That sounds like the wall to me in a marathon.
It is the wall.
Yeah.
How do we build up? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, you can slow down or stop and take in more. Now you've got more carbohydrates on board. Now you can go back out again. But how you train, I think, is going to be your question. How do you train to use less is by training your fat-burning system. And in order to train your fat-burning system, you have to run at that lower heart rate. That's why it takes, you have to run all the runs at that lower heart rate. So you start running all these runs at a lower heart rate, you're only using fat. When you start doing that, your body says, hey, you know, I need more of these enzymes to get more of this fat out quicker. It takes us longer to get to our fat stores than our carb stores, so our body prefers the carbs. But if you keep doing that, our bodies are very adaptable. They said, hey, I have 100,000 fat-burning enzymes, but if they're going to go out and run at this level all the time, I'm going to put on another 100,000 fat-burning enzymes. So now you've got 200,000 fat-burning enzymes. So you can get more fat in per minute than somebody who didn't train to that.
Sunny, here's what I hear you saying, that we need to train not only our muscles, right, our skeletal system and our muscles so that we can move down the road, cardiovascular, our lungs and heart, but also a metabolic change needs to take place to be an ultra runner. All three of these things have to connect for us to be successful out there, and all take time to develop them. Is that what I'm hearing?
You can teach the class now.
I picked up the notes. I picked up the notes from the last guy that
Cliff notes.
Cliff notes. Yeah, and I skip to the end.
Well, yes. Yeah, that's exactly it. And obviously, if somebody's been running for a long time, they probably have trained their fat-burning system.
Can you lose
it? So in these different products, you know, for instance, there's a woman named Linda Quirk, and she was the first woman to complete the 4 desert runs in 1 year. So she did the Grand Slam of the desert runs, one of them of which is Antarctica, because that's considered a desert, the Gobi, the Sahara, I forget what the other one is. But these were staged races. She's in her mid-50s. She's not particularly fast. She's not slow. She's mid-pack to a little forward from that. And she did all these races only on the product UCAN. She was using that fat-burning system so that she would not have to carry so much, to not have to intake so much. You can imagine how bad it is, you know, to intake for a 100-mile race, you know, in 24 or 30 hours. Now do that for 6 days. You know, it gets, one, you have trouble carrying that much. Two, you have trouble eating that much. Your stomach starts to really go off. So she was using that. Dave Mackey, our Ultra Runner of the Year, was using the product Vitargo for a lot of his races. In the Bandera race, which he won last year in, let me check my notes, 8 hours and 16 minutes, he ended up taking in 3,000 calories of Vitargo. So that was a super carb that he could actually get out of his stomach fast and absorb really fast. But because he's running, you don't get an insulin spike. So he wasn't spiking his insulin. He was just getting all those carbs to his muscle faster. So he took in a third to a half more calories than most of us would on the 4 calories or gram a minute of carbohydrates that we've been used to hearing.
So, Sunny, would this product prevent a bonk, possibly?
Both the training with UCAN and considering UCAN all the way through would prevent a bonk. Linda never had a bonk. Dave Mackey, he obviously didn't bonk.
Right.
So I think both of them prevent a bonk. I'm not 100% sure that they are the carbohydrate of choice to use in your actual race, but you can bet I think they would definitely be worth trying in practice. Because that's hard.
You had a chance to talk to both of those folks that are trying it. You know how in a race you can get gooed out? You just can't stomach another goo. And if you see one, you know, you try to toss it if you had the energy just because you've had too many of them. How is this? How can you stomach this? Do you get sick of it, or I think you've tried it.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. The product, you have to know going into it, it's not going to taste like our regular product. It's kind of chalky taste, so it's more like a malt, not that thick. It's hard to dissolve. Both companies sell a shaker bottle that has an agitator in it, so you can really shake it up. Cold helps, so, you know, stick a couple ice cubes in there and it helps. I can drink a lot of it. I mean, I can drink 2 cups or an entire 20-ounce bottle before I go for a run. I kind of feel full from drinking that much, drinking it just straight down. I start running and I think, oh boy, you know, and this is just not going to work. But, you know, it's out of your stomach quickly. It just doesn't bother you.
How many calories are in those 20 ounces?
Depending on how you mix it, okay? So the packets are like 1 to 200 calories, depending on whether it's plain or has something else in it. UCAN has a recovery drink that's a little different than their regular one. I think Vitargo does too. So depending on what they are, what Dave Mackey does with his Vitargo is he mixes this really, really into almost a thicker paste, puts it in a gel flask, and he takes all his calories in along like that and then just picks up water, carries water bottles. So he squeezes some. He's probably not exactly accurate in how much he squeezes per time, but I don't think that matters. That's because the nature of the super carb.
Sunny, can we switch the discussion a little bit to electrolytes? These UCAN and the Vitargo product, do they have electrolytes in them? When we're out on the trail sweating, we're obviously losing a lot of salt and a lot of other electrolytes. Are you taking these drinks alongside an electrolyte rich drink?
Yes,
as well?
You need to manage your electrolytes. These do not have any sugar. They don't have any caffeine. They have very limited electrolytes, and I think they have limited electrolytes just to make it simpler. Not having to worry about putting something in there that might cause it to stay in the stomach longer. So you have to manage your hydration the same as you would manage any other time. So maybe you'll be taking some sort of electrolyte tablet and water, something like that. And that's what I would suggest with these. I wouldn't try mixing an electrolyte drink along with this because the electrolyte drink is probably going to stay in your stomach more.
Okay, so we have already been to the Sunny Blende School of Nutrition, and you preach that you can only absorb how many calories per hour?
I 300? Say, yeah, our tried and true, you know, age-old thing was 240, a gram of carbohydrates a minute.
Okay.
That's glucose.
Okay.
Then if you add fructose in there, which we get by a slightly different transport system, so glucose pretty much goes across the cell. Fructose needs its own little opener, you know, in order to get in there. Then we're getting up to 300, 320 calories an hour.
Okay, but so, now you're telling us with these super carbs that we can absorb up to 1,000 calories an
that
hour.
That is what Vitargo has on their website. I'm still cannot find in any of the studies where they actually use that much during the run or whatever they were doing. They did right towards the recovery, and the recovery was phenomenal. So in the recovery following, like, the first bout of exercise, it was the glycogen storage after that was 1.68 times faster. And
wow.
The 30-minute window already doubles it.
Wow.
So now we're talking 1.68 times that, the doubling.
Okay, let's go back to the UCAN then. Are we still under the same rules with UCAN? If we have a 20-ounce bottle of that, are we still working on the 320 calorie rule, or can
our,
we?
Probably, but the difference is now you can take in quite a bit, because with UCAN it leaves the stomach fast and then it drips into our blood slowly.
Aha.
Vitargo leaves the stomach fast, gets into the blood really fast, and gets to the muscles really fast. So they act differently. They're only the same on that gastric emptying. Then they separate, and there are two theories. Can you use them both together? I'm sure both manufacturers would say no. I would say yes, try them in training. Maybe try UCAN first in your very base training, then maybe try Vitargo later. I cannot see why they wouldn't work together, and also I couldn't see why they wouldn't also work with some gels during the race.
You're making me carry three water bottles now. I have my electrolyte drink, my UCAN drink, I have my Vitargo drink, and then I have a bunch of gels.
Yeah, right. No, you've got your aid stations, and you've got your drop bag.
Oh, okay.
And your drop bag is probably where you're going to want to put these bottles of mixed drinks in, because remember, you can take in more of them because they get out of your stomach faster, so you don't have to take in just a little bit every aid station. And so, you don't need that much more.
So would you recommend having a 20-ounce bottle, or mixing 20 ounces at an aid station and downing it right there at the aid station, and then get on your way with your electrolyte drink?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I would do, because I'm going to stop at the aid station and I'll give that up. Dave Mackey runs with his flask because he's not willing to stop, because he's probably leading the race, and that's probably all he's using.
Okay.
Go ahead, Faith. I'm sorry.
I wanted to talk about these products in terms of after run nutrition. How are the UCAN and the Vitargo used for recovery?
The Vitargo has a lot of studies on recovery and especially helping the next bout of exercise. All right? So it depends what you're doing. If you're going on one long run a day and the next day you're going to do something else, UCAN's recovery would be fine. I don't know that UCAN's recovery does not do what Vitargo does, but the studies have been more on Vitargo, and that if you're going to do another bout of exercise later in the day, so if you're a triathlete or if you're splitting up your run morning and night, your second bout of exercise, so your second run with the Vitargo, it shows that you'll get 1.25 times greater maximum endurance performance on your second run. So if I were working out twice a day, I'd probably go with that. That also really helps if you're going to do, all of us have day jobs, so if you're going to do two long back-to-back runs on a weekend, you start out early Saturday morning, you don't finish till Saturday afternoon, you start again Sunday morning, you don't have enough time to really recover from that. So if you can force a quicker recovery without getting gastric upset, do it.
What about for over-the-counter after the run nutrition, just going to the grocery store after we just completed our long run in Auburn and we're going to head over to the grocery store? What should we be reaching for immediately? What is kind of your staples, your go-to for our after run recovery?
The thing that I would really recommend against is spiking your insulin. So that negates the donuts. Okay? So all of that, the longer you keep your insulin spiking down, the longer you will burn fat. So the healthier the meal, the better.
I know a lot of ultra runners enjoy a beer after a run. Will a beer spike your insulin level?
Beer is a little different because beer is a sugar alcohol, and sugar alcohols are not broken down the same way the rest of alcohols or the rest of sugars are. So the one thing about alcohol in any form is you actually absorb some of it in your stomach. So remember I talked about all these other carbohydrates. They have to get out of your stomach before you use them. Alcohol gets some absorption in your stomach. So if you finish your run and you first have a beer, you're going to feel that beer. You're going to get pretty high from that beer because you don't have anything to even slow it down. It's going to be absorbed more quickly.
Sonny, should aid stations...
use that to your advantage.
Should aid stations have beer? That sounds like a quick gastric emptying to me.
The gastric emptying of alcohol? I don't really know that. It's a... alcohol has been used up through 1924 at aid stations. So in all the old you know, original Olympics, alcohol is what they drank, some sort of a wine kind of brew. And right up through the 1924 Paris Marathon in the Olympics, there was wine at the aid stations. But one of the reasons that they used wine is it was our it was an analgesic, a pain medication.
Who would have known Sonny was going to drop some aid station history and knowledge on us in this? Is that going to be on the test? Is that going to be on the test, Sonny?
That is going to be on the test.
Good, you that's know,
what
I need to know.
Is the original ibuprofen?
Did you see how she pulled that date out of her back pocket like
yeah,
that?
I think it is part of her curriculum in that class.
I think that's a great statistic to know.
I know I a lot of people choose to drink chocolate milk as a recovery beverage after a run, and I hear it's really great for you. But to me, after talking about insulin spiking and whatnot, I think I hear chocolate and I hear milk. Those things have a lot of sugar in them. Does that not spike your insulin?
You know, it's a very good point that you're bringing up, and I'm glad you're bringing it up because it sounds bad. So you are right in... Milk chocolate would spike your insulin, just plain Vita milk chocolate. If it was the really, really dark chocolate that was 85% chocolate, that's not going to spike so much because that's not the sugary stuff in there. The way you can prevent insulin spiking with eating sugar, with eating something that does spike it, is by adding fiber, protein, or fat. Milk is adding the fiber and protein. The protein and fat.
So, Dawn, your wife wasn't supposed. She wasn't trying to sabotage me after our run.
She gave you some chocolate milk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So chocolate milk becomes a really good, cheap, you know, post-recovery drink. You know, I teach that in at the college where I teach all the time because the students are broke, you know, and they don't necessarily want to go buy some of the more expensive sports nutrition products. The other thing is. It's a pretty good 1-to-3 or 1-to-4 portion of protein to carbohydrates. That's kind of the portion, the proportions we tell people post-exercise to take in. You need that protein to rebuild all those muscles you just trashed. But if you don't have the carbohydrates with it, you're not going to get the work done. The carbohydrates provide the energy. So you need both. You don't just need protein.
So you'll store it as fat. You're around a lot of college students, and we, most of us have either going to go to college, in college, or have been to college. I have this question for you. Top ramen, more nutrition in the packaging or the top ramen itself?
Well, one of the things about top ramen is it's got a ton of salt in it, you know, even if the low salt varieties. But as an athlete, that's not such a bad guy in an athlete's diet. I think most Olympic athletes have probably trained at least a year or two on top ramen because it's cheap.
Yeah, my roommates were a fan of the Easy Mac. I don't imagine Easy Mac is that good for you either.
Well, all of that stuff, you know, the more fit you are, the more your body can take anything and kind of find some usable energy in it. Because what you want to do with your diet is you want to eat what you need first, then eat everything else later. So those really top athletes that are now taking their, you know, daily intake from 3,000 calories to 7,000 calories, they don't need any more vitamin A or any more vitamin C. They need a little bit more, but not 2.5 times the amount. So if they eat everything that they need, then they have all these, you know, extra calories that they can eat, you know, so they could go eat fast food and, I mean, I wouldn't for my health, but they could for their performance.
As we circle back to this super carb, super starch, you've had a chance to try them. What have you noticed personally about any performance enhancing characteristics of this new super fuel?
Well, one thing I really noticed is they just you take that stuff and you go out and you just forget about your stomach. And that's amazing to me because I don't really have any problem with my stomach, but I'm always thinking about my stomach because I'm a sports nutritionist,
right.
You know, and I'm thinking like, what does this do? What did this do? What did this do? What do I feel? What are my clients feeling? What are my athletes feeling? And I just am amazed that an hour later, I'm thinking, gosh, you know, I drank that great big chocolate malt or, you know, pomegranate, whatever, you know, there's a lot of different flavors. I drink that big thing and I'm fine. And that's one of the main things I notice. You know, you don't spike.
How long did it stay with you? Did it empty? Did it seem like it stayed with you longer than your normal pre-workout meal that you might have had in the past?
Yeah, it does. Although I think if you're fully carbo-fueled, you know, you still don't need anything for an hour to an hour and a half. But what if you're not? You know, what if you want to get up in the morning and go for a run and you don't want to eat too much real food that has a lot of fiber with it because you need to eat it and then rest for a while? You don't have to do it with this way. You can get another half an hour sleep.
For those that are thinking about going out and ordering this, what flavors have you enjoyed? What's top on your list and what might not be on top of the list?
You know, I haven't found one that I did not like. They both have a plain flavor. So if you are squeamish of trying something else, try the plain flavor first. It has the least calories in it. It just doesn't deal with anything extra. Both the Vitargo and the Yucan have that. The one thing I did the other day is I used the Yucan recovery drink when I finished my long run, and it was cold, and I was cold. You know, it was foggy down at the beach, and I'd been running over the, you know, headlands here. And I got back, and I was still cold, and I'd had about two-thirds of my drink before I went out, and I was going to have more when I came back. And I put it in the microwave, and it tasted like hot chocolate. It was great. So, you know, I don't know if you can do that with them. I don't think that the heat's going to do anything to it. So that was really interesting. The Vitargo, I haven't had any problems with that, and especially when I've done a double workout, I do feel I have come into that second workout a lot better. So if I'm doing a weight training class in the morning and then a long run in the evening, that's something that I really like. I like that second wind.
So getting back to the fat burning.
Scott's very interested in the fat burning.
You've seen me. You know I'm interested in fat burning. One of the recommended methods of training your body to burn fat is to go out on a run in a fasted state. With these new super starches or super carbohydrates, do you still recommend that? Is it a better idea to use one of these super carbohydrates as a pre-training run?
No, I still feel that way. I know Bob Siebelhaar, who wrote the Metabolic Efficiency book, recommend sometimes training on nothing. But I really, if you are out there ready to lose some fat, if you have, either if you're not that trained or you have some fat to lose and you don't eat anything before you run, you have awoken in a fasted state, which means that your metabolism is now running lower. So I don't think it's a good idea to not eat anything. I think you should wake up your metabolism, because when we have low metabolism, you know, our body is not burning as many calories per hour as the person who has a higher metabolism sitting next to us. Most overweight people have a low metabolism. Most ultra runner top 10% have a super high metabolism. So I want to get into that super high metabolic state. On a practical point, your brain, which is about 2% of your body weight, or maybe if you're an ultra runner, you know, 1.5% of your body weight.
That could be argued by our families.
It uses 50% of your glucose. So even when we're exercising and using all these calories to get on down the course, our brain needs glucose. I don't think it's a good idea to get up in the morning and head out in the hills, you know, with a low brain in gear.
So instead of going out in a fasted state, you're recommending having a little bit of nutrition, a little meal before you go out.
Or having these products, you know, perfect. Have these products. If you're trying to burn more in the fat burning system, you probably want to start out with the Yucan.
Okay.
And if you're needing more problem in the recovery and the repeat performance, I think you probably want to go towards the Vitargo. I can hear both of them telling me, no, you can use our product in both situations, and you probably can. But that's my little that's how I'd start.
So if you are going to have some of this before your run, how much and how far before the run would you recommend?
UCAN says 60 to 90 minutes right up to the start. You don't have to worry about that window anymore. So you can take any time. That's the thing. If you were to take regular food that might spike your insulin, then you don't want to take it 10 minutes to an hour before you go out. That's why you don't want to take anything unless you take the gel and the water right as you exit the door, because it takes about 10 to 15 minutes for your insulin to spike. So if you're going to take something that doesn't spike, I'd take it any time that it's convenient for you before you go out the door, and I would take one full packet. And that will probably last you on most of your long runs. You can take the powder, you know, just take another packet with you and take water, you know, take your water, because you might just need your water, you know. And then if you run by one source of water, then you can be drinking your water during your first couple of hours and then fill up with water and have your second pack. You might not need that much. And if you do come back kind of depleted, that's when I'd go and mix up the Badargo for my super, you know, recovery.
Sunny, this is sounding like a super fuel, a super carb. We just need to get some more trail time with it so we can understand it better. And
that's the main thing, you know, is trying it in practice, because, you know, are these products better than our tried and true sports drinks or gels or bar? You know, not at all. They're different. You know, our regular maltodextrin products, all those wonderful companies that have given us all those wonderful products and taken all the fiber out so we don't get very sick, you know, they've been used to get PRs and course records all the way through ultra running. So would I stop using those? Certainly not. And in a race where you have aid stations that are often and you know your body would love to use carbs, you know, you can take those in. You can, you know, you're not going to run out because you've got aid stations all the way along. That might be the perfect thing to do, or use both in the race. I think these other products would help us come to the starting line a little more fit, a little more tuned to that fat burning system, and a little more filled with glycogen.
So, Sunny, the big question then is, are super carbs super expensive?
They are a little more expensive. So these packets run, your dosage is probably going to run between $2 and $4. For your bottle that will probably be fine for your run. So the bigger you buy, you know, the bigger amount you buy, the better. You can buy, I'm working with this long-distance ultra swimmer right now. He is attempting the first solo swim across the Sea of Cortez. It's across Baja. It'll be a 76-mile solo swim, which may take somewhere in excess of 40 hours.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And he is using the UCAN in his training. He's been having a lot of success with it. And if you type in the code UCAN Cortez, you can get a 10% discount right now.
Fantastic. We'll link those sites both for both products underneath your podcast, and also your website too, at eatforfitness.com. Is that correct, isn't it, Sunny?
That's correct. Yep. There's a lot of articles on there. The Super Carb article isn't on there yet. It's for the people who have Ultra Running Magazine subscription. You can get directly to it. Otherwise, keep looking for it. It'll be up soon for everybody else.
And what a great resource, Ultra Running Magazine. There are so many great articles on there. And John Mettinger has looks like over the years has just gathered up the people that are in the know and that have the ability to write and articulate their thoughts and assemble them and created a great magazine. You're a part of it, and a number of others. As people open up who the contributors are,
have some great contributors, and their articles are getting better and better. I notice the magazine's getting thicker and thicker.
It is. It's gold.
It's a good learning curve. Yeah. if somebody's thinking about trying some of the super starches, you know, consider them a little bit like training wheels. You know, order some, you know, order a smaller amount or whatever, and, you know, try it a little bit. If you don't have any stomach issues at all and you just haven't really had any and you're doing fine with your sports products and maybe adding some real food in, great, do it. You know, stick with that. But if you have had some problems, you might want to try some of this. If you are trying to become a better burner and, you know, lose a little body fat, spiking your insulin has a lot to do with it. Even Tim Noakes, who wrote The Lore of Running, is restating his diet now with a little bit more healthy fruits and vegetables and a little bit less spiking grains and carbohydrates. So I think we can all continue learning even when we have tens and 20 of years of science studies. You know, there's always something new on the market, and I don't think that any of us want to not try it.
Sunny, this may be the most rewound podcast that we've produced so far, where people are going to go, what? And they have to, you know, jump back 30 seconds and get their pen and pencil out and rewrite it and put it on their water bottle so they can enjoy and actually digest, if I may say that word.
Nice.
If they digest the information in this last podcast with you. We really appreciate your time. We appreciate your knowledge. And
my knowledge is constantly changing and growing. These products, they're a little hard to understand. Both websites have good explanation and good charts on them. So I didn't find any funny studies. You know, they have good university studies behind them, so it's good.
Awesome. Well, we can never get enough of Sunny Blende when it comes to nutrition and Ultra Running Magazine or ultrarunning.com. You can find her there. You can also find her at eatforfitness.com and find a number of past articles and you can even reach out, and she has her email address there as well. She can be found also teaching at the College of Marin. You could take her class, and you may be able to use some of this podcast as a way to eliminate a few of the hours there.
Extra credit.
Perhaps you might need a little extra credit. And there's a great podcast with Ultra Runner Podcast that has Sunny Blende, and you can reach out and look at that, because you distributed a great deal of knowledge over there too. Thanks for everything that you've done and contributed and continue to do.
All right. Well, you're welcome. Now go out and run.
Thanks, Sunny.
Thanks, Sunny.
Bye. Okay. Bye. Bye, Faith, too.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, guys, I think my next meal is a super carb, and I'm not talking about an ice cream sundae.
You know, I found myself, where's the name of that product? I found myself every time I was trying to say Vitargo, I was doing a Freudian slip and thinking Viagra.
That's not, you know, that's, I don't even know if it has the same number of syllables. It has, both have a V.
Well, yeah. You know, the thing that has gotten me really excited is, you know, all of us, many of us have a little extra weight that we need to lose. And talking about the weight to power ratio and being able to mm-hmm. climb up a steep climb, you know, we can all, I think many of us can stand to lose a few pounds, and I think this is a tool that we can use besides just starving ourselves, which we know if we're training, that's not a good thing to do.
And I think it's really exciting. I mean, this product, it sounds like Sunny is really excited about it, and it might just be the next step, the next answer for those experiencing gastrointestinal distress while they're out on the trail.
You know, I would like to put a forum on trailrunnernation.com on the super carb, and we can start putting our own, you know, the nation members that are out there that have tried it. We can put some input, what we've learned, what we do. I think collectively we can probably
learn from each other, right?
I think that's what the nation's all about, Scott. You talk power to weight ratio. On one of the pages on Sunny's article, I wrote in bold print, large, when she talked about 165-pound runner and 155-pound runner, and I'm 175, so I'm already above that. and they're both with the same amount of power going up the hill, the 155-pound guy is going to be at the top first. And I wrote right there in bold print, I am going to drop these pounds, these extra few that you're talking about, because I'm tired of packing that thing, those extra pounds up and down those hills. When it comes to cycling, we'll throw dollars at a carbon fiber frame. The bottle holder's carbon fiber. We replace this and that, so we trim the ounces. But when it comes to the body, it's free to lose some weight. We don't have to feed ourselves. We pay for carbon fiber, and we could do all this for free and just skip a meal or two. So I'm done.
Well, I think that it's very important that we remind everybody that, you know, if you're losing weight, and you're training, you shouldn't go to a 1,000-calorie diet.
Well, she talked about that, didn't she? She said,
brutal.
Yeah, that's just the wrong thing to do. That's one of the biggest mistakes that athletes do make. The other thing that I want to clarify is, if you go out and purchase these products, you know, moderation in all things, and start out, you know, mm-hmm. with training wheels. Don't just jump in with both feet and think that you're going to be successful.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if she made this point on the podcast. I think, putting it in layman's terms, when you're on such a low-calorie diet, when you're not burning that fat, your body kind of goes into that fight-or-flight response where it stores everything you eat, and then since you're not burning the fat, you end up burning actually the muscle. So by having like a 1,000-calorie diet, you actually are not doing yourself any favor. You may be losing weight, but you're starting to burn the muscle, and then that won't get you up the hill either.
You know, I've made a lot of mistakes, but that's a mistake I haven't made. I've eaten enough. Well, Sunny's always great to have on the podcast. Fantastic, and she's a wonderful resource for the ultra community.
Well, thanks for joining Trail Runner Nation members. We appreciate your time. We hope that this was a good learning experience for you. Go back and take some notes, and hopefully it'll be good for you. Go to the website, trailrunnernation.com. Join up, share some information, learn something, and go out and run a bunch.